Aloha, welcome to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but nothing replaces a visit with your own primary care provider. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Teresa Wee. She is a pediatrician with 40 years plus of experience, and she's going to be sharing with us some of her thoughts on ways to keep individuals, families, and whole communities healthy and how to continue to work on achieving their health goals to stay active and fit and enjoying themselves here in the islands. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Now, years ago, you wrote a wonderful book that was trying to help families to achieve some really important issues for their health care. And in fact, because of your experience as a pediatrician, you've really been a guiding light to a lot of families as their children have grown up, and then you take care of grandchildren and
the next
whole
generation.
Exactly. There are some general pillars of health that you've really focused on. Tell me a little more about those.
Yeah, I think it's so important to educate our families. We as parents want to do the best for our children, but if we don't understand basic knowledge is power. And so what I try to do, especially with the newborn infant, I try to talk with families and parents, you know, let's set routines, let's set schedules. And, you know, the parents are the leaders of the family. I'm kind of old school. I like to have family meals. I like to have a little bit of routine and discipline and order in the house. And I think this prepares our children well for school. And also it makes it easier to stay healthy together as a family.
Now, that educational component you mentioned, you know, can happen when parents bring in their kids to the pediatrician's office.
Yes.
But there are some other ways that that can happen as well. What are some of the unique ways that people can get health education out in the community?
I think there's so much material out there in terms of on podcasts. And I think just make sure you trust a source. The Academy of Pediatrics has a lot of education. You can talk with your pediatrician about trustworthy sources, but I think there's a lot of information. And also going back and thinking about the healthy habits you had when you were a child and really trying to talk with your parents and, you know, kind of go back and look at how things were. I think we need to kind of get back to that. Right now, our society is just filled with ultra-processed foods, with fast foods, with too many electronics. And so I think a lot of that we need to stop or put under control so that we really can have more time together as a family and communicate.
Back to the basics.
Back to basics.
I mean, I remember growing up without a cell phone. I mean, it wasn't even a thing until I was an adult.
Right.
And computers didn't exist. So now I'm dating myself and I'm dating you too.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said for getting together with your friends, riding bikes outside, or going to walk in the woods, or just playing without necessarily requiring an electronic device to do that, to give you that sort of visual stimulation that I'll be honest, I get stuck scrolling on my phone and I think, oh no, I'm getting really to be one of those people that just can't put it down.
It's just a fabric of our life now. So we have to be very intentional about controlling our, you know, watching Netflix, looking at our phones and playing video games. So that's something I stress with families, you know, when they have young babies so that they're aware of that. And really, the studies show that children under 3 should not have any screen time. It does nothing for your brain development.
Well, and when you talk about asking your pediatrician or asking mm-hmm. your family doctor some questions, you also on Saturdays provide an opportunity for people to ask you questions too.
Yeah, so my Walk with a Doc Oahu is my nonprofit organization. I've been doing this for 9 years, where I meet every week, rain or shine, at Central Oahu Regional Park near the tennis courts from 8 to 9 a.m. And what's unique about this is I'm always there with a new health tip every week. And so you not only get the exercise, but you get educated. You know, there's always a little something you can take home and share. I tell all my walkers, you're my disciples. Go out and spread the health tip I just gave you.
So what kind of health tip have you given recently?
Well, on Saturday, I talked about the benefits of gardening because I just started a garden and I was curious about that. I talk about motivational things, whatever, why walking is best. We talk about intermittent fasting, just different topics that people ask me about.
So it kind of incorporates that first pillar you talked about, education.
Education.
With the second one, which is exercise.
Yeah. So at the walk, after I give the health tip, we actually do a warm-up. So we stretch, we warm up, and we have three different routes. We have a short, medium, and long route. And there are some people, to be honest with you, come with canes. I have two 90-year-olds that are regulars, and you know, they may just walk a few yards and back, but you go at your own pace. We walk for about 45 minutes and you get your exercise and you're talking. We always walk with someone, so before you know it, the 45 minutes is up.
Yeah, and that accountability factor, when you say you're going to meet somebody and you say, I'm going to meet you at this place, we'll walk together, there's something about having an exercise buddy.
Yeah, and I think when you're with all these like-minded people, you know, when someone doesn't show up for 2 weeks, oh, what happened to Frank? Or, oh, he went on a trip. And so we become a walking family. And I think it's just wonderful how we just click together. And we're all after one goal, to really have a good quality life and exercising. So it's so good to have that accountability.
Now, you started the Walk with the Doc mm-hmm. program, and you're at Central Oahu Regional Park.
Yes.
Are there other branches available in other locations?
Yes, there's one at Blaisdell Park in Iale, and they have it at the Neil Blaisdell Park once a month, the first Tuesday of the month. But we also have three groups on the Big Island, one on Maui and one on Kauai.
So where can people find out more if they want to join one of those groups?
Well, just go to the website, walkwithadoc.org, and look under the state of Hawaii, and you'll see a little blurb about each of the walks and how to contact the organizer.
All right. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Teresa Wee about some of the other pillars on how to stay healthy and lead a happy, long life. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I have Dr. Teresa Wee here in the studio. She is a pediatrician of over four decades. And we're talking today about some of the ways to keep everyone happy and healthy and thriving. So right before the break, we talked about the first two of the four pillars that you mentioned in your book, education and exercise. And you kind of tapped a little bit into the third one, the social aspect of things.
You know, we get a lot of this information. Social connections is the strongest predictor of longevity. And it also helps to delay mental and physical decline. And these conclusions come from this 85-year study of the Harvard Study of Development, started in 1938. They wanted to see what was the main factor for longevity. They found out it wasn't career achievement, money, exercise, or a healthy diet. But instead, the conclusion was that positive relationships keeps us happier, healthier, and live longer.
Well, and it kind of correlates with some of the concerns that have come about in the last few years in the medical research, looking at loneliness as an extremely major risk factor for death and dying, yes. Literally that factor of not having those social connections. So when you look at and quote that Harvard study, it lends itself to looking at it from the other perspective, saying, boy, they did this really long study of multiple groups of, I think at the time when they right. started in the 30s, it was men. So they took a look at those who had gone to Harvard and those that were living in other areas in Boston, followed them for the last almost 100 years, and looking at what are those correlates with having a good life. And yeah. it's that social connection. It's pretty amazing.
It is. And that's the key to a happy, long life. And loneliness is like not eating or sleeping. It can be so detrimental. Loneliness triggers chronic inflammation. And so now we begin to deteriorate physically and mentally. So, you know, when we have those good, positive relationships, it relieves stress and boosts your immune system. And when you're in difficult situations, you have people to fall back on. And it not only means, you know, close relationships, it can be just the people you see daily, the Long's cashier, the postmaster, the postman, and just people you see when you take your dog for a walk. Just say hi and see how people are doing.
Well, and the one good aspect of cell phones and the ease of use is yeah. that if you can't get out, or if you're yes. in a situation where you have physical mobility constraints, or, you know, you live somewhere where the weather gets bad and you can't necessarily be outside, you still can have those social connections by calling a friend, keeping up with someone,
right.
reestablishing a relationship that you might have had a friendship from 20 years ago,
right.
and just touching bases again.
That's what I say. It's never too late to develop, you know, deeper connections. And really, we had a loneliness epidemic, according to our Surgeon General, before the pandemic. But after the pandemic, not only adults, but even for teens, this loneliness, even though we're on the phone, that doesn't count as a, you know, social, real deep social connection. So we can start with our families. Like I said, you know, parents are the leaders. If we can just put down that phone, I tell families, just spend 5 minutes together. You know, it could be at family dinner, or it could be just before they go to bed. We did that with our family. Just, you know, my four kids, myself and my husband, no matter how busy we were, we'd all sit around in a circle, talk about the day, tell us one thing about your day. And I think that really helped. And as my children look back, they really cherish that time.
Do they do it with their own kids now?
You know, they do that as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Creating a legacy. All right. The fourth pillar. The fourth pillar of the foundations that you talked about is being outside and in nature. Now, there's also been some studies that show the benefit of being in nature.
Yeah, we call that vitamin N. But it's just going outside and seeing God's creation and looking at the birds. I mean, looking at nature through the eyes of your three-year-old child and just being amazed at, wow, we live in the best place in the entire world. And look at the shower trees are blooming now. Look at the birds. You know, no one has any care in the world. The weather is really perfect year round. And I tell people, it's so good to get that sunlight, get that vitamin D, get that circadian rhythm going. So many benefits.
Well, and there's a whole movement of being out in the woods.
Yeah. Forest bathing, they call it.
Coming from Japan, trying yes. to lower stress. They prescribe time in a forest, in the woods. And we have some amazingly beautiful hiking trails here in the islands. We also have great opportunities, just even as you're driving around,
yeah.
that you can just look out your window and see the gorgeous mountains and see the sky.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, a view of the ocean, it's just absolutely magical. Just be careful if you're the driver
yeah.
that you're paying attention, because
yes.
that's important too.
They even did a study where they had someone put a picture of a nature, and then they evaluated, and people who either had a window or had a picture of nature actually felt more stress relief.
Yeah, they've actually done studies in hospitals, too.
Yes.
That if you have a view of the outside.
Yes, you do much better.
You have
better.
Like a lower length of stay in your hospital, which, you know, seems wild, but there's something about that ability to reconnect.
Yeah, so when you walk, you know, you really amplify your exercise when you're in nature, so it does double duty.
Well, and there's all these benefits. You know, I know that, like, just getting fresh air.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yeah.
But also when you're around trees,
yeah,
they actually release
something,
some phytochemicals,
yes,
that we breathe in that are actually helpful to boost the immune system. I mean, they've done all these studies, and it's amazing to me because we all kind of say, hey, I feel better. You know, I love to go in the ocean. Yeah. I feel better. But there's truly some scientific,
yes,
studies that they're starting to look at to say, why is that? Yes, people emotionally, psychologically feel well, but is there some change going,
yeah,
on in the body? And they're finding that there is.
You know, one of my health tips was talking about grounding. So grounding is when you, earthing is another term, but when you actually go barefoot, you actually release a lot of that stress into the ground. And so they actually sell grounding mats, and they talk about going barefoot in the park, walking on the sand or the dirt or the, you know, or the grass. And it really helps to alleviate pain and stress.
I believe it, although I'm probably a little squeamish to go walking in mud, but I'll take the sand. I'll take the beach. I could do that.
Or grass.
Okay. All right. I'll work on that. But, you know, they've also looked at being out in nature, lowering your blood pressure.
Yes.
And causing a change in heart rate variability, lowering your pulse, allowing,
yes,
your body to just be in a situation that is not so modern, shall,
yeah,
we say.
But I always caution, especially my seniors, you know, just make sure that you don't overdo it. If you're just starting on your journey toward physical fitness, you know, talk to your doctor. And, you know, if it's hot, wear a hat, wear sunscreen, you know, watch for cracks in the concrete. I don't want people to fall. So, of course, there are things that we have to be careful about.
Well, and that may be part of the reason why some of the best exercises that they found, in addition to walking, are things like Tai Chi.
Yes.
That really focus on balance and slow movement and,
right,
finding ways to strengthen the body and the muscles without necessarily having to be fast.
Right.
Or repetitive stress on,
right,
joints.
Or yoga.
All amazing ways that,
yes,
that seem to not just help the body and strengthen the body, but also do so in a way that tends not to cause as much of an injury.
Right. Of course, walking is, I think, the best exercise, low impact, and it's free. But, you know, choose the activity that you like, because that's the one that you're going to stick with.
Oh, how true is that? I know it. All right, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with Dr. Teresa. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about two books that she has written and some exciting news about what might happen with the second one. We'll be right back.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Anchor Systems Hawaii.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with Dr. Teresa Wee. She's a pediatrician with over 40 years of experience and has been writing books and teaching families for generations about ways to stay healthy. Now, the first book you wrote a few years ago,
yes,
that one was where we got some of these pillars that we talked about earlier.
Right.
Tell us about that book.
You know, my passion is preventing, treating pediatric obesity. And so my hypothesis is we have to get the entire family on board. And so I have done family workshops, obesity workshops, where I have the entire family sign a contract. Parents, if the grandparents live there, normal weight siblings, as well as the patient, all come to these. And I had remarkable success among families. And so I decided to write a book so that I could put this workshop and all of the details within it. And that's the publication of my first book, The Happy Healthy Revolution, The Working Parent's Guide to Achieve Wellness as a Family Unit. And it is on Amazon now.
And that you said it's like a workshop and you get everybody engaged in the household.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you want the household to commit to do?
I want the family to put down phones, to communicate with one another, set small goals, encourage one another, be kind to one another, start eating as many family meals together, set routines and schedules. Now, that includes parents and grandparents as well.
So it really isn't just the one child. It's,
exactly.
It's the whole
family unit within that house. And in Hawaii, we have, you know, generations living together. And that was, I think, you know, I've gone to 3 national conventions now talking about this. And I think a lot of people are interested.
I'm sure they are, because these days it really is a lot about getting back to the basics.
Right.
We're learning that all of the wonderful technology can assist us, but then sometimes we take it a little too far.
But it's hard because our environment is not conducive. You know, fast food chains everywhere, Starbucks, Jamba Juice, fast foods, and all the technology. But I think parents need to be the role models.
Okay. Now, that's not the only book you wrote.
Yeah. So when COVID started, I challenged myself to write daily blogs, just to journal daily and write down what I was feeling, what I was doing to stay healthy, and I posted it on social media. Lo and behold, there were so many people reading it and wanting me to continue. So I did this from March 2020 till December 2020. And then the publisher of my first book said, wow, these are fantastic. You need to put them in a book. And I said, I don't need to write another book. But I went ahead and did it. And so that's my COVID-19 diary, Practical Tips and Scriptures for Improbable Times from an American Doctor.
And so how is it organized?
So it's organized by day, March 23rd, 2020. Today is the first day of lockdown. And I go through each day. And so what I have in there are my thoughts, my feelings. There's usually a physical and mental health tip. I end it with a scripture from the Bible that I felt comforted with. And that's how it is. So you learn a little bit about me as well.
And you kept this going for almost a year.
Till December 31st, 2020.
And during that time, what are some of the things that people reached out to you to remark about the most that they got from this, from the blog, which turned into a book?
I think people were encouraged. I wanted people not to give up. I wanted people to continue going outside, walking. I wanted to give people hope. And this is what I'm doing, you know, try to maintain a regular sleep schedule. This is important. Go out and get sunshine. You know, the COVID virus is not outside. And so there were many different physical and mental tips that I shared with people about what I was trying to do to keep healthy.
Well, and I think one of the key elements is you were giving an insight into the medical profession. And
yeah.
Sometimes we hear about a lot of different ways that people dealt with COVID, and to hear about it from a doctor who was the one trying to interpret the scientific principles they understood with what you're hearing about with this novel virus, with what the patients are asking you about or their parents are asking you about, and trying to come up with some reasonable, rational ways to go about daily existence.
Right, because sometimes, you know, when Dr. Fauci came on, it was very confusing. So I tried to take what I was hearing and interpret it in layman's terms. And we were all confused about the COVID. And then my colleague and good friend, he ended up in the ICU. And, you know, my relatives were dying. It was a very scary time. And I just wanted people to know that they're not to panic and you know, keep your immune system healthy. Let's just keep moving forward in a positive way.
Well, and that was sort of a voice of reason when everything else was turning upside down. And, you know, as that time progressed, and I think back to 2020, and we kept learning more.
Yeah, as time unfolded, we learned more. But again, it was very difficult to trust people, but
sure.
But It was very interesting to, it was an interesting time, and people appreciated what I gave them.
Now, the book has gone quite a bit further than you expected.
Yes, so I'm currently in the process of speaking with HarperCollins, so it may be picked up by a big publisher for a few years, and a Hollywood screenplay has been written. I've talked to two Hollywood producers because I think there's a story to be told about what healthcare workers actually went through. You know, in the book I talk about, is today the day that me or one of my staff is going to get COVID? You know, I'm in my 60s at the time. Am I going to die? Am I going to end up in the ICU? People were upset with me because sometimes I wouldn't see them in the office because I thought they could have COVID. They would yell at me and change doctors. But yet we still had to see newborn babies.
Sure, there were reasons that you didn't want to expose.
Exactly.
Very vulnerable people. Right. The youngest and the oldest were the right. ones that were determined to be most vulnerable during the initial phases of the pandemic. And so, right, you didn't want to have young babies get exposed no. who didn't even have an immune system.
You know,
system
and
yet.
They called us heroes, but yet people, you know, didn't realize, like, I was going bankrupt. I mean, I had to do payroll with no one coming in. It was a very scary time.
Heroes, but with some caveats.
Yes.
And the hero idea didn't last as long as I wish it would have, but thus is life. Very true.
Yeah.
So you helped families through this journey by sharing your own experience.
Yes.
And being open and transparent about that.
Yes.
And letting other people see a window into how things were going.
Yeah. I think being vulnerable, you know, I talk about how I was feeling, and I want people to be like that with their families, you know, just share what you're feeling, because we need to be communicating with one another. You know, that's what love is good communication.
Well, and if you normalize the idea of talking about it, then you make it normal for other people
yeah.
to talk about it as well.
I think so.
Okay, so if people wanted to have a chance to read before the Hollywood screenplay or before the big publisher picks it up, where would they be able to find my COVID-19 diary?
So I do have an author website, www.teresaweauthor.com, but you can go to Amazon. The books are on Amazon. I also recorded an Audible book for the Happy Healthy Revolution.
Oh, you did the audiobook too?
Yeah, with my wow. own recording.
With your own recording. Now that's bold. All right. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your expertise with us today on The Body Show.
Thank you, Kathy. It's been wonderful. Thank you for having me all these years.
It's been a great journey for me as well. We will be sunsetting The Body Show at the end of July. So for all of you who have been listening, we really appreciate all the opportunities that we've had with many guests to share their expertise with us on The Body Show. Dr. Teresa Wee, thank you for coming on. You've been a loyal listener and a loyal participant. If you'd like to hear this show again, you can hear the interview with Dr. Wee, this one or one in the past. You can always click on hawaiipublicradio.org. You can also find the links to The Body Show there or on the HPR app. Our engineer is David Chong. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. We'll see you for just a couple more weeks on Mondays at 6:30 right here on The Body Show. See you then.